Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the cooking voice of your local announcer, Tom Fitzmaurice, coming to you from the wave paths and of your other constellations through this part of the world and all of that. And would I know, I'll shut up any second now. It's the food show. Here's the idea. We go on the air live and we talk to you or anybody else who drifts in and tells us where he or she has been eating lately or what you really love to eat if you're not eating it today or anything else you want to know about the dining scene in New Orleans. It's America's best city for eating, and that's why I just go ahead and say that. If you think you can show me otherwise, I look forward. Well, I don't look forward to it, but I'd kind of like to see what you it goes in through your mind, telling us how your ideas are better than ours. I'd be very happy to see that, actually, because there is so much good food out there that you never get to the end of it. And it's always a pleasure for me to be here performing our broadcast here on 105.3 FM HD2, and Marianne is here, and Marianne always comes in and makes it clear what it is that we're looking for around here. Good food, a lot of fun, also very important, accessible. There are a lot of restaurants out there that people would like to go to more often than they do, but they don't because they don't have the money for it. I can relate to that, but I think most of us do. Anyway, we put that in here and always looking for anything along those lines. The more of them we have, the better, because I can pass it around to all the people who listen to us all the time. 260-6368. 260-6368. Those are our phone numbers. That's all you need to know. Just punch them in there, and away you go. And speaking of Mary, oh, excuse me, something just went down. Hello.
Hi.
Hi there. Have you ever been to a place that for you, for your money, is the best thing all the time? Or is that
the
just
best
too...
thing all the time?
Yeah, because sometimes you get something and it's good one day and not so good the next day.
No, I think that we had this conversation yesterday about New Orleans food and spirits. We got a completely different thing than we normally get, which is the seafood platter. And it was spectacular, as everything else that we've ever had there.
Where was
is.
That?
Our usual Monday haunt,
yeah.
New Orleans food and spirits. And we're not talking about a really expensive restaurant. We're talking about a casual, rather inexpensive restaurant with sort of just good home cooking kind of food. But it's really good, and it's a great price, and it's 100% consistent. You know what you're going to get when you go there. I think there's a lot of places that are consistent, but I think there are a lot of places that aren't consistent as well, and that's a little bit frustrating sometimes.
Yeah, well, not too bad. At least we have it out here. There are a lot of parts of America that don't really have any particularly good food. They really don't. You can get down there and...
I think there's probably more places than not where the food is not particularly good. That's why when that guy called us that time and said that his girlfriend was looking for diner kinds of food, I thought, why? You know?
Well, in its time, it was one of the most popular things around. You know, like Woolworths.
Never here, though.
We had Woolworths here. We had two of them that were very famous. One of them was on the corner of Rampart and Canal, and the other one was on Canal, right across the street from the that big store,
Holmes.
Holmes, thank you.
D.H. Holmes, yes. Yeah. Anyway, 260-6368 is the number. You know, it's interesting.
It does?
Yeah. The Southern Charm Bistro.
The Southern Charm.
Which has taken over the O'Brien's Grill.
I think I have their card right here because we went there and
Looking for another location, which I find pretty wild.
Well, they were.
Because they're just so busy, they don't have enough space. So that just goes to show you how desperate the clientele on the West Bank is for good food. I mean, they just, you know, they're packing them in all the time, and they just need more restaurants, more good restaurants over there.
Yeah, that's been said for the West Bank
for a long time. Probably since the 80s, huh?
Even earlier.
When the oil bust hit. Anyway, so well, what can you do?
I don't know, but we expect you to come up with it in the next 10 minutes.
You expect me to come up with a wonderful topic? We can do that.
Oh, you've got one? Let's hear. Well, I always have topics. I have.
Yes.
So do I. We have a little feature in here called the Almanac, the Gourmet
Fit. We do, yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I have two of them today because the gizmo that throws out the ink was running a little late, so I lost a few of these lines here, and I couldn't get them to go. But we had some other things here. If you want to take a look at them, you might find them interesting, Mary.
Tom has the most absurd track record with a printer. We could do an entire show and printers.
Yeah.
It's quite remarkable, actually.
But it's, it's focused in a small area. It's not something that we have, 50 printers or anything like that.
260-6368 is the number.
That's a little funny, yeah.
Menu. Guess what, Tom?
Tell me, what?
Today is National Jambalaya Day. Don Clement, do not call me with your canned jambalaya recipe.
Well,
he will, though. I'm sure he will. I guess I should probably try that because I'm not going to do it today because it's also our anniversary. We have to find some place to go that is worthy of an anniversary.
For 30 years,
we went to the Windsor Court, and then we decided to start something new on our 31st. So we're not going to the Windsor Court. As a matter of fact, we're not on the South Shore at all. So I was going to throw out Dakota maybe, since we haven't been there in a very long time.
A long trip, sort of. But
you threw out Pardo's, but we'll see. Anyway, jambalaya. I love jambalaya. I love jambalaya right up there with, let's see, what are my favorite things? Besides pizza, of course, hamburgers.
Seafood platters.
No, I used to really be into seafood platters, and I stopped fried foods for the most part, maybe 10 years ago. And I do fried foods occasionally. If there's a really good house-made chip or a really good house-made French fry, I'll do that. But for the most part, I really don't do fried foods. I mean, it's a rare thing. But the other day, yesterday at New Orleans Food and Spirits, I figured, what the heck? You know, let's try it. So we did it. But generally speaking, what I find is that when I've done fried foods, it's kind of like I'm one of those people that, you know, if you fall off the wagon, people with discipline, they fall off the wagon. And then they regroup and they get back on it. I say to myself, okay, well, I've already done that. I'm just going to keep going. And that's what I do. Mm. So if I've had fried foods one day, I have fried foods the next day. And then where does it stop? You know, and that's just kind of like.
No, it seemed to me to be the other way around. You, if you get into one that is, you know, three bottles of this or that, it starts you a rip and roar on you. And then you wind up eating a lot more of it.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Anyway, 260-6368 is another jambalaya.
Jambalaya, the one wonderful thing about jambalaya is that every time you have it, it's different.
You say, Tom, that I do not like Zatarain's. That's not true. I do like Zatarain's mix. I just prefer Tony Sachery's, and I also like Oak Grove a lot. I haven't tried all of them. But I don't really, it's like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So I have a recipe for jambalaya, which is just
amazing.
The mix.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the mix. And I do everything like I would if I was making it from scratch. I do the Trinity. I do the sausage. I boil my own stock from a smoked chicken. I do all those things. But I don't trust myself to do rice properly or to have the right spice blend. And I find that Tony Sachery's has a spice blend that, to my palate, is really, really good. And mm-hmm. so that's what I use. But you know what I found about those jambalaya mixes?
Tell me.
You can't use more than one kind together because the rice cooks at different speeds depending mm-hmm. on the mix. So if I, and I learned this the hard way with Oak Grove and Tony Sachery's in the same pile, it didn't, Oak Grove cooks slower than the others for some reason. I don't know what kind of rice they're using. 260-6368 is the number. Best jambalaya in town.
Good question. What, you could
That's
start.
That's an easy one for me to answer.
Oh, well, hit me.
Eric Luce.
Eric Luce?
Yes.
Who that?
Eric Luce, the chef at Luke. When Mary Lee's almost wedding, we did a tasting at La Foray, which was actually it wasn't La Foray. It had already changed hands
yeah.
and was
a block away from
Pigeon and Prince.
Several things.
Or Pigeon and Prince. I yeah. don't know. I don't even know why they named it that. It's a silly name.
It was another John Besh thing.
Yeah, it was a venue with John Besh for a while. And it's a stunningly beautiful place. I don't know what's going on with it now, but it would be a pity if it became anything other than a venue or a restaurant because mm-hmm. it's really, really beautiful. But we did a tasting there, and Eric Luce, who was the chef then, he now is the chef at Luke, but Eric made a jambalaya that was otherworldly.
Good.
Yeah, it was the three of us. It was Mary Lee and her fiance and me, and there was actually a pot of it, and we killed the whole thing. We absolutely killed the whole thing, and we told him later that was absolutely the best jambalaya that we had ever had. And he said, you know, I took a bite of it on the way out of the kitchen and I stopped in my tracks and I turned around to the chef and I said, remember what you did here. This is good stuff. And it absolutely was. And I don't know if the chef did remember what he did. And Eric has the keys to that kingdom. But I'd be willing to bet that the jambalaya at Luke is probably the best you're going to find out there.
Luke,
you don't see jambalaya too much on menus.
No, not as much as, you know. But it comes and goes. There are some people that really love it, and there are other people who like it pretty well, and they keep the dishes full.
Is there anyone who doesn't like jambalaya? I'd be really curious to hear that. I mean, how far wrong can you go? It's rice and vegetables and sausage. I mean, isn't sausage one of God's great creations? The jambalaya at Luke, I think, is an outstanding version. And I think another version that I really like is coincidentally at the same place we were just talking about, New Orleans Food and Spirits, mm-hmm. where Byron will make it sometimes as a special or part of a special dish.
Byron.
And he makes one that I don't usually like.
What's
I don't
that?
Like seafood and meats in the same pot.
Yeah, I'm pretty much with you.
I think that's true of gumbos.
Italian food.
I like meat to be meat and seafood to be seafood. And he does it all, Byron does, but I still like it. Anyway, 260-6368.
Yeah, we'll come back, have a break to get into, and here it comes here on 105.3 FM HD2. It's The Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice, and a lot of other cool people here with us as well. Thank you. Hang on and come visit to us. Visit to us.
WWL, 105.3 yeah. FM, HD2.
Anything else you want to say? I mean, you know, hey, well, I would like to wish you a very happy 31st anniversary here.
Thank you, Doug.
And you do know that the 31st anniversary is the timepiece anniversary.
Oh, is that so?
That's right. So I'd like to wish you a happy 320, I think.
320.
What is the timepiece? What is the significance of that?
It's a watch. It's something you
now,
tell
I know
time
what a time
with, unless
is.
You're very slow and use just a calendar.
In this house, the 31st anniversary might be the murder anniversary.
What do you mean by that?
That's the 32nd.
Sounds dangerous.
Wait, what, Doug?
That's the 32nd.
Don't dance me, I won't dance, don't ask me, I won't dance, madame, with you, where'd everybody go? We were having lots of fun there, or were we? What is that, that's a microphone.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh, that's...
So I can speak into it and carry on the show.
Put out a little
note. How about that for an idea?
Huh?
What? I said, how about that for an idea?
What?
You know, I like one of your old kitchen sage says today. Jambalaya. Mm-hmm. No, this is your deaf dining rule. If you can identify everything in a jambalaya, it's not a very good jambalaya.
Isn't that the truth?
No.
You don't think it's true?
I don't think so. No.
Well, I mean, you know, nobody would want to eat.
Are you implying that jambalaya should be sort of mushy rice? Because I don't think so.
No, mushy. I hate mushy.
Yeah, I know.
I hate mushy from whatever direction.
You were talking about the two different kinds at the Jazz Fest, which I absolutely am adamant about.
Yeah. Well, they have so many of them.
There's the Creole one, which is red, and there's the Cajun one, which is brown. They are very distinctive. I do not like a Creole jambalaya at all.
It
has to be a Cajun jambalaya.
You are not alone, and a lot of people feel the same way about...
I don't know.
I don't know that they do. As a matter of fact, I have a photograph here.
Do you have a preference, Creole or Cajun jambalaya? If you do, give us a call, 260-6368. Mm-hmm. A little informal poll here.
Yeah. 260-6368.
I think what you wrote about jambalaya is really pretty interesting, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
what did I say?
It always is. But you were talking, it's quite lengthy. I mean, it goes on for most of the almanac today. Hmm. But you have here that there are two kinds. The Creole is made with enough tomato to turn it a distinctly red-orange color. The Cajun jambalaya may have some tomato in it, but probably not. It's emphatically brown and typically spicier and meatier. While both styles can have the entire range of proteins, the Creole version is more likely to include shrimp.
Mm-hmm.
While the Cajun version more probably includes spicy, smoky sausage or tasso, chicken is common in both. See, I don't think, meat and seafood, I don't like it. Jambalaya is often called a descendant of paella, but we question that. You could as well say it's a descendant of fried rice. I think fried rice is an invention of American, quote, Chinese restaurants.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. We
I love fried rice, but I think it's fake.
We went over to Trayen a couple of days ago and really had a very sparse program because we didn't want to eat a lot of food. But it was very good. And, you know, Trayen is so steady, so reliable.
It's good.
Anyway, we had a big plate of it.
You had your mooshu pork, and
I had
the steak special, which is
always great.
So fantastic.
For the money.
For $20, you definitely get a whole filet mignon. It's cut up into slices, but
tremendous.
There's a whole filet mignon there in terms of ounces of beef. It's exceptionally good. I don't know what Chinese people know about green beans that we don't know about green beans, but in Chinese restaurants, there is an elevation of the stature of green beans, in my opinion, to something rarefied, absolutely rarefied. I noticed this mostly at Din Tai Fung in California, but that's a Michelin-starred Chinese restaurant.
It's everywhere there.
It is exceptionally good also in the steak dish that they do as a special at Trayen. There were green beans in there, and they had that same fantastic can't get enough of them quality. 260-6368 if you'd like to join our little chat fest here. So
chat
fried
fest?
Fried rice.
Okay.
I submit that fried rice is strictly an invention of American Chinese restaurants.
Well, here it was. And
she says this not having ever dined in China itself. But
Well, it's...
And not likely to for a long time.
There's one aspect of Chinese food, and this, I think, also applies to jambalaya, too. And that is, if you get a plate of what you are pretty sure is, a modest platter of Chinese food or jambalaya, either one, and it has what
there's absolutely nothing in common other than rice.
What you wind up getting, though, is a quantity of food that is way out of whack as to the quantity of the food that comes to your table. And whenever we had a hot and sour soup, small one, not even the big bowl, but the normal size. And then there was the mushu, which had done with pork. Simple enough. It was probably the biggest thing of all. And then finally there was an entree.
The steak special.
The steak special, which was tremendous. But when you looked at it and compared it with a similar quantity of it from anywhere else, you would say that's too much food. You eat Chinese, it's in advance, you know, it's much more, much hungrier.
Is shrinking because he doesn't eat. He eats like a little old lady. A few bites and you're done.
They tell us for years they tell us that you have to cut down on the things that you eat. Eat this, this, and this, but not this, this, and this. And then once we get to the point where we're actually doing that, what comes out of it? What comes out of it is me, which I've my weight is like way out of whack, and I don't know how it happened.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, anyway.
Okay. Now let's put this fried rice thing to bed here.
Okay. Let's do
fried rice. The origin of fried rice goes back to A.D. 589, 618, right in there in the Sui Dynasty of China, in the Yangzhou province, and that's in eastern China, as a matter of fact, is when that dish started. So it is, in fact, Chinese. So there.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if that, well, I still maintain it may have origins in China, like all the other things that you see in American Chinese restaurants, but I'll bet you the Chinese version is unrecognizable to American palates.
No, yeah.
Like, you know, the Chinese version.
Just the same way as everybody's gumbo is different.
Yes.
Same thing, same, same.
I can buy into that.
I don't know if I would agree with that because in China, there are a lot of unrecognizable things that I wouldn't want to eat, whereas I would eat just about anything. Oh, I don't know. Maybe that's not true either. In a gumbo in a dark roux. I don't know. Anyway.
Dark roux, you put it on some things and not on others. The older I get, the more I find that to be true.
A dark roux?
A
what
dark
do you mean
roux.
Put it on something?
Gumbo is the most obvious
obvious example. Doug, what year was that fried rice? Did you find it's BC, you said?
Oh, you must be busy. But anyway, where were we?
516 AD. 516 AD.
516.
Within
plus or minus
a few years because they didn't keep really good.
So
they didn't have watches or anything.
Okay. I have to say I do like paella a lot.
You what?
I like paella.
Oh, paella.
A lot. And it is very, very close to jambalaya. But what's interesting about paella and jambalaya is that I just said that I don't like seafood and meat together. And paella absolutely has seafoods and meats together. And I find paella to be wetter, generally speaking, than jambalaya.
Yeah, that's pretty true.
There's a place in town. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? There's a place in town where it's like a pop-up, and they're doing paella.
I haven't heard about it, but
I wouldn't be surprised.
I
saw them at a food truck in Covington at an art show, and I'm trying to think of the name. It's two girls, and they have this pop-up paella thing going. If anybody knows what I'm talking about, would you call 260-6368? Mary Lee knows the name of him because she sees it on Instagram. But if you are an Instagram traveler and know the name of what I'm talking about, please give me a call because I think people would like to know about where this is and where you can get some of this. Since you're right, Tom, it's not really all that common to see jambalaya in restaurants. And if you don't want to make your own jambalaya, maybe this paella would work for you.
Yeah.
And I think Costera has a good paella, too.
Well, there are all kinds of dishes that pop up, and that you don't expect them, and they are utterly unique. I'll give you an example of this. Oh, and you know, it just occurred to me that this week that is ending now.
It's not ending. It just started.
Huh?
It's Tuesday.
I know, but for okay,
at the end of this week will be Valentine's Day.
Yeah, okay,
is that where
gotcha.
You're going with
well,
that?
No, what I was working up to is that this week was my birthday on two different occasions.
Well, it was only one birthday and then two celebrations.
Well, a lot of things are celebrated once and then again of an hour later. You know, that's. But anyhow, we went to Antoine's. And started out at Broussard's, actually, but Antoine's has a dish on its menu called Oysters Foch, F-O-C-H. It's named for the hero of World War One, not World War II, World War One. And upon getting there, I recognized this dish because I hadn't had it there in a long time, Oysters Foch. And it starts off with fried oysters, no big deal, just straight ahead. Fried oysters. The rest of it are the parts of the oyster that are not, you know, completely covered with crunchy stuff. This one, though, had a sauce on it that was practically totally black, and it covered the oysters. And I remember having had this on previous reports over there, and now remembering how much I liked it. And it was this dark roux is what it was, put this load on top of itself. And what a dish. I mean, I cannot think of anything even remotely like it. But that's where that kind of thick roux kind of stuff comes in. And it's good because it sets us apart from everybody else, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
260-6368 is the number. If you'd like to chat with us, give us a call, please.
Yeah, why not?
WWL 105.3 FM, HD2.
What's going on? Imagine that. Hi there, it's the Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. We'd love to talk with you about food, about restaurants, about cooking and wine and all of that. Marianne is here with us, as she always
Hi.
Is, at just about all of our visits around and about.
Tom, did you go to that dinner at Louis the 16th with Paul Bocuse?
No, I remember hearing about it, but I did not go to that.
Was that before you were really entrenched in the gourmet food scene here?
No, I'm pretty doggone entrenched in it. But
this was in the late 70s.
I remember it well, and I was not there for that. But we were talking about it for years. There might be people still talking about it even now.
Yeah? What were they saying about it?
Well, we were so accustomed to do our local cuisine here in New Orleans and all the Cajun and all the rest of it, that the rules followed by the chefs in from Europe would surprise everybody else, because we didn't have that kind of very sharp, different styles of cooking. And a lot of the younger guys, they turned out a great product. Everybody loved it. But they also had much more very sharp, fixed up ideas of what you could do and what
the
you
rules.
Couldn't do. In the rules, right, for what the French chefs all did and you know, all of that. And so that didn't really penetrate New Orleans.
Did you ever have Paul Bocuse's food anywhere?
No. Mm-hmm. Can't say. A couple of them.
Who did Henri for a brief time that it was here?
The restaurant?
Yeah. Who was the chef of Henri?
Yeah, it was. Oh gosh, I'd have to stop.
In town after it closed?
They. Well, what they did was they came in every twice a year. And they would.
So it wasn't even really local people. It was.
No, it was distinctly French chefs. And you could, and this was a very tight thing, because these chefs had come out of Paris. Excuse me, it came out of Paris. Excuse me, I said it again. What I meant to say is that they came from France, and they were playing everything sharp, you know, really.
So they didn't stay in town. So twice a year, the chefs that were responsible for the food at Henri came in town to look it over, to check things out, or what?
That's exactly what they were doing. And actually,
in the kitchen cooking the day-to-day stuff?
Again, I know the guy. I got to know him very well because I
wasn't
traveled.
Wasn't René Bajot, was it?
No.
Okay.
Went to the part of France where those guys came from. And that was unbelievable.
Was that L'Auberge de Lille?
Auberge de Lille, right.
Okay.
That's it. And that was the...
Wait,
the,
did you go to... You didn't go there as a result of having been to Henri, did you? No.
Yes and no, because Henri came to town twice, and he brought in people from New Orleans twice a year. And the two would get together, the two groups of chefs would get together and give each other tips. That's basically what it was. So we had this absolutely rock-solid bunch of chefs who were practically in heaven.
Rarified,
and,
yes.
And it was
so
really...
Does anyone know who was actually in the kitchen at Henri back in the day?
Yeah.
If you do, give us a call, 260-6368. What?
On one particular day, it was me. And I had muscles.
I said in the kitchen, Tom.
Yeah.
Did you have a chef's toque to make your muscles?
Well, no, they told me, would you like to? And I said, sure. So I learned a little bit more about cooking. And these guys were happy to do it.
Let me rephrase that. Does anyone know who was in the kitchen and getting paid to be there?
I was being paid.
Back in Henri, in the like, what? Mid-80s? No, it would have been, it would have been like the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s.
Could be, yeah.
Because I didn't show up in your life until today, actually, in 31 years ago.
You didn't meet my how did that go?
I don't even want to venture a guess, Tom. 260-6368 is the number. I'm looking for a couple of questions to be answered. Mm-hmm. One is, who was in the kitchen at Henri at Le Méridien Hotel?
That's where it started.
Back in the day.
Yep.
For the brief time that Henri was here.
Exactly.
That's what I'd like to know. And you said that. Wait, did you say that? Okay. I was looking at a L'Auberge in your almanac, thinking it was L'Auberge de Lille, but it wasn't. It was Lyon. It was Paul Bocuse. More about Paul Bocuse.
Not bad, though, to have him.
Who, Paul Bocuse?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny that today is also the premiere of the first installment of Julia Child's cooking show in 1963.
Yeah, that's
so it's odd that would be on the same day that Paul Bocuse was born. Maybe there's a connection.
Could be.
Maybe someone said, let's start the show on that day because he's one of the big French chefs.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I saw that that Julia and Julia, that movie. Do you remember that movie, Julia and Julia?
Very, very entertaining, yeah.
That's actually on demand, Tom, if you want to see that movie, instead of your Jimmy Fallon one night. Yeah, Julia and Julia. I thought that was a cute little movie.
Yeah, it was a cute little movie, and later...
Did you meet Julia Child?
I was about to say, I was at a hotel. Well, it was the Royal Sonesta is where I was, on the ground floor, and they invited me and some other media weaseballs to come on in and check it out. So I sat...
Was she cooking or was she just sitting there?
She was sitting there, but we were talking about food enough that she could put it down for you. Anyway, we were sitting there, and the first dish that came out was oysters Rockefeller on or incorporated into something like a custard, if you can put your eye around that.
I can't.
But it wasn't sweet. It was definitely all.
So it was like an oyster Rockefeller casserole.
Exactly, but with a really...
But more custard to it.
Right, but not... No,
so it's almost solidified, only
exactly.
Softly solidified.
And she was...
Like a souffle, maybe?
Yeah, it was in that direction, except...
Like an oysters Rockefeller souffle?
It wasn't sweet. That was the...
Yeah, you can have souffles that are not sweet.
Yeah.
So it's like an oysters Rockefeller souffle.
Right, and you would bake it in the oven a little bit before it went out
to
the table.
Yeah, all souffles are baked
and,
in the oven.
Well, something like a custard wouldn't, not always, anyhow. So anyhow, getting back to this, she sat down and tried this Rockefeller bisque. Not bisque.
Souffle.
A souffle, yeah. It wasn't exactly a souffle. But well, anyway, she came in. She tried it. She said that she really loved it. Oh, this is very wonderful. And that was the only comment that the restaurant got all evening long.
So it was a dinner.
Yeah, it was a dinner.
Were you sitting? You were at the dinner also?
I was with them.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And Julia Child, I'm talking about. But it was funny to me at the time that they sent her those.
What year was that?
That would have been, I'm guessing, late 80s.
I was about to say that had to be before my time because I know that I would have heard about that. So that had to be before I entered the picture, which was 1988.
But the point is, the funny thing about it was that when she ate a second pop
bite
in the mouth there. She said nothing more about it. So I took the idea that she probably didn't like that very much. But
well, maybe she's just not an effusive person.
No,
well,
I think,
she actually is an effusive
person. Yeah, I don't.
She's rather known for that, actually.
We
so
didn't
I don't know.
Food her, fool her. Or anything
so maybe
like
she
that.
Just didn't like it. Maybe that's,
I don't think she did.
That's maybe the only thing that she liked. And that was where at the Sonesta. Who
at
was
the
in
Royal
the
Royal Sonesta?
Who was in the kitchen?
You know, once again, I'm sorry to do this all the time, but it's when the band is.
It wasn't Andrea? Was it?
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
It was a chef. Who was at the Royal Sonesta for a long time.
Oh, I know you're talking about. Michel Marceau.
That's who.
Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah.
But
who now has Michelin, maybe?
The place out in towards
No, Mirabelle. Hammond. Mirabelle.
Mirabelle, yeah.
Yes, it's in Hammond.
Hammond, right.
He and I, that was at the time that I had the boyfriend.
You had a boyfriend?
Uh-huh, I did. And I wanted to make him beef Wellington on his birthday because that was his favorite dish. And I got puff pastry from Michelle at the Sonesta, who told me, don't even attempt to make puff pastry. Just come get some from me. So I came to get it, and I think I did actually make the dish. And it was fine, but it was I couldn't understand it at that time. But, I mean, he was kind of a gourmet, too. And I remember when I told him I was going to marry you, he thought it was absolutely hysterically funny that we were going to get married and share a life together, because he knew what a non-gourmet I was. And he really was a gourmet and thought that the idea was preposterous.
Wow, and it worked out beautifully over such a long time.
Yeah.
Hello? Hello?
I'm just He was right. It was preposterous. 260-6368 is the number. We are just, you know, blathering, as always, about food. So give us a call if you would like to join in on that. And even if not, still give us a call because, you know, we need it. Today is also the birthday of Thomas Edison.
Yeah, I wonder what he used to do. He liked light bulbs, I heard. And
yes.
I can't figure out what the deal was
but
there.
But what is the food connection to why was Thomas Edison's birthday in your almanac? Because I'm trying to think of what connection his name would have to food.
Well, you can imagine how many different dishes.
Or you're just thinking because, no, that's not true. I was about to say you're just thinking because he invented the light bulb that would have something to do with cooking. I mean, I guess that means that you could cook later. I don't know. Why is he in your almanac, Tom?
Because he made such an impact on the whole world. Can you imagine what a restaurant would be without a light or air conditioning?
Anything? I see. So what you said is he had the electric light bulb, which certainly changed the face of the restaurant world. Imagine what it would be like to dine only by candlelight.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then you have, if you want to experience it, go to Muriel's. But Muriel's, Tom, it's my shoe. It's my shoe.
My shoe?
Yeah, you keep looking like there's some foreign object flying around, but it's just my shoe. Every time I cross my leg.
Yeah, what is that about anyway?
It's my shoe, Tom.
Okay.
Anyway.
It's my shoe.
You were talking about Muriel's, but you know, the fire marshals came in and advised them to change their candlelight to fake candlelight.
The ones on the outside?
They're all fake now.
Yeah, I mean, they've been there for a long time. And
I mean, it's still a cool effect. You can have fake candlelight and still have it look good.
Well, there were a couple or three restaurants before that was Muriel's. One of them was a national chain.
The Chart House.
The Chart House, which was very famous for a lot of people. I'll bet you right now there are at least 10 people who were fairly regular customers
Okay, I was not a regular customer at this Chart House. As a matter of fact, I don't know that I ever went to this Chart House when it was the Chart House.
Yeah.
But we were regulars at the Chart House in D.C. when we lived there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Chart House in Virginia right across the Potomac. It's on the Potomac in Alexandria. And it's a very cool building. There's a little sort of turret, like a lighthouse. And we used to always like to sit in the lighthouse. And what I loved about the salads was that Mary Lee used to joke with me. I would get several different kinds of salads. And there would be sort of a stack, like the princess and the pea. I would just sort of stack the plates. And she used to like to tease me about that because, can I use it for a minute? Oh, you need it? You really need it that much?
No,
like,
I was going to write something. I have other pencils
here.
In here.
Okay, well, here, you can have it if you really, really need it.
I can live without it.
Because I can also borrow it when I need it.
Sure.
I'm going to be needing it every now and then.
Remember here, that it's over here, and I'll
bring
it.
Okay, I'll just grab it from you.
You can have it as long as you want.
I tried to steal Tom's pencil, but he's not having it. Here, I've got it. You take this one. I'll take that one. 260-6368 is the number. Don't we have some fascinating things on the air?
Yeah, like what?
Like battling about who's going to use the pencil. It's riveting. What can I say?
Yeah. Well, you know, nobody's done it before, so we may as well be number one.
And I don't think anyone's going to do it again, I hope.
I don't know.
You
know, when I talk to people, which I do more than any other thing I do while doing this, what I always get back from them is, you know, the things you bring up are so far out, and really, I love listening to this stuff. And
wow.
I really do. I get that all the time. So God bless them, but also to everybody who's going to Muriel's or any of a bunch of other restaurants in the city.
Okay, this will be funny, Tom.
Oh, I can't wait to hear
it. Here's a review written by a newspaper reviewer.
Yeah.
Quote, the Cajun jambalaya at $15.95 tasted as if some dry hot spice mix had been randomly sprinkled over chunks of flavorless chicken and shrimp.
Mm-hmm.
What is that a review of?
Give me another reading on that.
It's a place that, it's a local place that has only come to town about 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Very popular national chain.
Mm-hmm.
This is a review of their Cajun jambalaya. The Cajun jambalaya tasted as if some dry hot spice mix had been randomly sprinkled over chunks of flavorless chicken and shrimp.
Wow, there are so many dishes that would meet those descriptions.
Well, it's a review of the Cheesecake Factory.
The Cheesecake Factory.
Yes, and you said a place you should never go looking for jambalaya. You know what? I know you don't like the Cheesecake Factory. I know you don't. But of all of the chains, the Cheesecake Factory is actually really good.
You think so?
I do. I really do think so. Now, I wouldn't get jambalaya there, certainly not here when you can get real jambalaya and good jambalaya. But for basic kinds of things, I think it's really good. Now, what I find interesting about the Cheesecake Factory is its breadth of menu. It really covers a wide scope. I mean, it's a booklet. It's a book, actually. And it's just about every imaginable American dish out there. But I think they do a really credible job with most of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think their pizza's fine. I think their guacamole is good. They have great sliders. I confess I have a thing for their sliders.
Well, you found
they come in a stack of four. They're semi-greasy buns. It's kind of like if what's that place you used to really like? The Crystal. If the Crystal was good, that's what this would be.
When I was 14.
No, Tom, you were doing Crystal recently. Don't try to fake it.
No, I haven't. That's off my list.
I remember driving with children in tow.
Yep. That's how it
and having to stop at a Crystal that we found somewhere. So we're not talking about, well, our kids are 30 years old, but
that kind of changes the thought.
So it could be maybe 20 years ago, but I think if that Crystal was still on Royal Street, because I think that was the one right by Deuce McAllister's Old Saint. I think it was right there next to it. It's not there anymore. I don't know what it is now, but it's not been that long that the Crystal's been gone. Did you ever hit that Crystal on Royal Street, Tom?
No, I don't think so. But here's something that you might not know about the Crystal. They were what's the word?
Hamburger?
No. It was a completely family-owned business.
And are they still?
No. I'm going to say about 5 to 10 years ago, they sold it finally. But it was the same family the whole time.
I wonder what they sold it for.
I can't remember, but I do remember that this is going to make for better hamburgers.
What?
The absence of crystals.
Oh, okay.
Now, when I was, again, I tell you, 14 or thereabouts, I used to like them. We would just glam them down when we would get off of school. When I was going to Jesuit, we would go over there, and each of us would...
Where was there a crystal when you're Jesuit?
Airline Highway, right before you get David Drive. Yep, we were in there every afternoon eating tons of these things, tons.
What was that burger place that you used to also like? It wasn't Burger King, it was Burger Chef, maybe? Was there a Burger Chef?
Burger Chef, I don't think, was here anytime recently.
No. This would have been when you were, you know, riding around with guys at Jesuit. Mm. Was there a place called Burger Chef? Does anybody remember that?
There was one, but it was not common around here. You saw a lot of them in Texas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's news time, and then we'll come back with the third course of the food show. I think it's four, huh?
Yep, two.
Two? Just
anyway,
two more?
We'll be back. You're listening to WWL 105.3 FM HD2.
All right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.